I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Sponsoring this week on Staying Relevant is Hinge. I am very, very excited about this one, Samuel.
Oh, Hinge, the dating app designed to be deleted. It is very up your street, to be fair.
There is an opportunity for you to be involved, though, Sam.
Any excuse to meddle in your love life. I love it.
With voice prompt, my best friends take on why you should date me. You can actually lean on your friends to hype you up to potential matches. Try not to get too excited, Sam.
I would be the best hype man for you. You know I would. I'd talk about your smell and then move on to how you always take care of anyone in your group on a night out and also how you bring little snacks in your briefcase. They're very endearing qualities.
Wow. Just wow, Sam. As we found out there, it's not easy to see your own green flags, especially if you're humble and self-deprecating like me. Add that to your list, Samuel. But it is easy for your friends to do so on your behalf.
Now, I'm glad you like my suggestion, Peter, and download the dating app Hinge and try its voice prompts today.
Do you want to start then?
No, I think it's important you start, Pete. You're really good at these.
Well, but it's kind of your thing.
No, mate, I just... Okay. Welcome to Staying Relevant, the podcast by two bestest pals, brothers in arms, blood brothers. We made a blood pact once. And
never happened.
It is 2024. Happy New Year, everybody. We are starting afresh, bigger and better than ever. Now, remember... I've already f***ed it because you've got to talk about your booze and swearing.
Yeah, I have, yeah. I will be swearing as normal. I haven't changed that this year. However, I'm not drinking.
Hey! He's come to his senses.
So it's just the swearing that you need to worry about. And if you don't like it, go f*** yourself.
Yeah, and we are out every single Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Obviously, as you know by now, or you can watch us on the old YouTube, or we like to call it the Tube. At Staying Relevant, type us in, at Staying Relevant Podcast. You can watch us every single Friday. Or if you want to just watch our extra bits, we post every single day on the socials, Instagram and TikTok, at Staying Relevant on both.
Snappy C.
Oh, and Snappy C.
But also, we did say we were going to be coming back bigger and better, so we are, which means that we are going to be releasing bonus episodes every week now.
Yeah.
Every Thursday, there will be a new episode, which is interactive, because it's about you. It's to do with you. So please keep writing, you know, all the stories and voice notes and fucking emails, because we love reading them, because you're all fucking unhinged.
It's like the one who shagged the cousin.
Yes, exactly. Exactly like that. So every Thursday, that'll be our audio, and every Sunday, that will go on YouTube. So you're now getting us on a Monday, a Thursday, a Friday, and a Sunday.
So we're basically in a relationship
4 days
now.
A week.
Yeah, we're not
Four
even like a side
a week.
Piece.
I don't know what you're going to do for the other 3 days.
So welcome to 2024's Staying Relevant podcast episode. And actually, I do have to say, we have an edition which hasn't been here long, and it's not going anywhere. It's a beautiful framed picture of a half-naked Peter James when he was in his better years.
Yes, that was what we call prime.
Yeah, prime Peter Wicks.
What we call now... the slow decline.
Yeah, prime Wicks.
And actually, it's not as slow as I hope.
Do you know what I really like? He goes through eras. I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but he goes through eras a lot. And we're now a 36-year-old, colourful Peter.
35. We're going to get to that later.
Oh, okay, sorry.
This is the problem, all right, is you have no structure.
Now I'm back. Right? It's all gone
to shit. We're gonna just start with, we are in the new year.
Okay.
How was your Christmas and New Year?
Oh, okay, cool.
We'll get to my fucking outfit later.
But it's really good. You're going to really like this.
Okay. How was your Christmas and how was your New Year?
Christmas is great.
Great. So, what we're going to do...
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It's my favourite
time. Yeah.
Well, actually, I am wearing a bit of a yarp.
Yeah. Peter Christian. Yeah. And it's not yours. You stole it.
No, I didn't.
You saved it from your granddad.
No, I didn't. He's talking about the cardigan I'm wearing, and
it's got a shawl collar.
No, it's basically my granddad at Christmas got given a really nice... I got the worst haul ever at Christmas. Zara did so badly. Okay, yeah, I know. And do you know what? I can say it here safely because she's not here.
She's not here, and she'll never, ever hear this.
She ruined Christmas.
What did she get you then?
So I got Zara. So basically...
Sorry, just to stop you for 1 minute, I'm just remembering a story of you buying Zara a frying pan last year.
No, she bought me a frying pan.
Oh, she bought you a frying pan. Yeah, she is bad. Yeah. Fucking hell.
She got me a frying pan.
Surely you can't get worse than that.
Wait, mate. So she got... So I got Zara. So you know her birthday is December.
Yeah.
And then it's Christmas, right? So like it's double whammy for me. So like I always have to go quite big for her birthday. So I got her, you know, some really nice stuff. Went to Harrods and got some bits for her. And she's very
Why
happy
did you
with
say
it.
Harrods?
Yeah, I know. Went to Harrods.
Yes, we understand you're loaded.
No, and I'm not. I didn't.
Went to Harrods.
No, but if I didn't say we went to Harrods. Okay.
Oh, it's okay. I went to Harrods.
Such a knob. Okay. Basically, I went and got her some nice stuff.
Where from? Harrods.
Okay, Harrods. And so she was really, really happy with it. And,
of course she was. It's from Harrods.
Came to my Christmas present. What we get him, rubbing the hands together, Gustav Westman's.
What?
The very trendy plates.
Sorry.
We got some owls there for the ladies at the back. Some Gustav Westman's.
You got plates. For Christmas.
Got plates, got some saucers. And I also, no, that's a lie, I've also got a beanie.
You got plates, saucers and a beanie?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, I got a backpack as well.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw the backpack.
Yeah. So I got a backpack,
oh,
plates,
fucking
and a beanie.
Dora the Explorer over there. Okay, all right, not great on the Christmas haul. Anyway,
so,
all right,
wait,
fine.
No, but moving on.
Oh, there's more.
Because the winner of Christmas actually, and we know it's not about gifts, but, you know, it kind of is as well a little bit, because everyone wins and everyone loses, right? And yeah. Granddad won this year. He got given this...
Well, he didn't, because you robbed him.
So basically...
So that, to me, is a loss.
He got given this really, really nice cardigan that just looked really warm and snug. And I was like, well, I kind of want one of them as well. So I basically asked him where it was
from. So you're
from.
Gaslighting the audience in saying Granddad won whilst wearing his cardigan.
Yeah, basically.
So actually, Granddad didn't win, you won.
Yeah, he gave me his cardigan and I bought him another one.
And you bought him another one?
I didn't want to wait.
You bought him another... What, you bought him the same one?
Yeah.
So you and your granddad are twinning?
Yeah, here we are.
Cute.
So Christmas is quite a big thing around the Thompson household. We all get together, you know, we all sort of sing songs and play games and, yeah.
Play parlour games.
I don't even know what a parlour game is.
Of course you do. Well, you just call it games with the fam.
What is it? What's a parlour game?
Parlour games, it's when you do like fucking Pictionary and charades, and it's what all posh people do.
No,
and they all
Monopoly.
Sit around the fire and they play Monopoly, yeah, and all that sort of stuff.
I'm always
the butler's
banker.
There serving the fucking mulled
See, this
wine.
Is where it goes weird.
You know, shall I carve? No, let Jeeves do it.
No, Granddad carved this
granddad
year.
Granddad carved.
Yeah, Granddad
Wonderful.
Carved. Got great steady hands.
What's Granddad's name?
Alan.
Go on. Alan.
Yeah, Alan.
Alan.
Really nice guy, actually.
Alan.
And he...
Alan, I'll have that cardigan, Alan.
I don't understand what Pete's saying. I don't understand where he's coming from here.
Alan. Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Well, if you don't know, you don't know.
Do you know what? He was so lovely, actually.
Alan.
Fucking hell. Do you know what? Move it on.
No, go on. Carry on.
When we play Monopoly, I'm always the banker and I always win.
When we do the podcast, you're always the wanker.
I've never told anyone this, but I cheat at Monopoly. Yeah. So the way you do it, right?
Why on earth are you surprised?
What do you mean, are you surprised?
He is one horrible human being.
What?
Hidden behind, oh, I've got Labrador energy. No, he's a fucking prick, all right? But he's duped you all, so don't be surprised by this. That doesn't shock me in the slightest. He robbed his own granddad. Why are we surprised that he cheated at Monopoly?
I didn't rob him. He said, do you want it? And I was like, he was like, you just got to get me another one. I was like, yeah, cool, done.
Yeah, I'll have it. Or you're going in a home, Alan.
No. Alan's a legend.
Carry on.
I'm always the banker, so if you need... play Monopoly, you'll know that you can just slide a couple of 500s out the side.
So, good Christmas then.
Well, we're not done yet, because we also invited Pete for Christmas. Yeah, see, this is another thing. I always get worried about Pete around Christmas, because he always puts up his inaugural, like, hate Christmas Instagram story, and sort of like with some really weird, depressing music in the background of his thing. And I always get worried. So I called him on Christmas Day and wished him a Merry Christmas. And he was in the bath. And I was like, Merry Christmas, mate. He was like, yeah. I was like, would you like to come down and join me? I was like, the family love him, like, mum, dad, everyone, they love him. Bring it down, mate. We'd love to have you. And he literally hung up on me. I was like, no. Not just that, the day after Christmas, we had a Boxing Day lunch.
Yeah.
And I hadn't heard from Pete.
I haven't replied to Zara, actually.
Which, this is the point. Me and Zara got really worried about Pete. So we both called him, both messaged him. I was a bit worried because I hadn't heard from him and I'd feared the worst. And so I was literally like, Pete, please, please come down and have... My mum was literally like, no, poor Peter. Poor Peter. He needs to have someone around him at Christmas.
God bless Karen.
Yeah, God bless her. And he didn't even pick up. He aired all of our calls. So I got really worried about RP on Christmas. But then he sort of like re-emerged at like New Year.
Yeah, I don't like Christmas as
you turn your phone off. It's weird.
No, zero interest. Absolutely no fucking interest whatsoever. The sooner Christmas is over, the better. It is now over, so we don't need to talk about it anymore. Great. So that was Christmas. New Year.
I went for dinner with Zara.
You did? I saw that. Beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Zara quite upset with you because you had a stain on your top.
Yeah, that was really annoying. Yeah, I got a stain on my top. She was so pissed off because she was like, we don't ever really get nice photos together. She was like, can we get a really nice photo of me and you? And
is this why she put it in black and white?
Yeah, it is. It's why she put it in black and white.
I thought that's very arty.
Yeah. She was in the cab on the way back being like, if I put it in black and white, you won't really see the stain. Basically, I had spilt a little bit of butter sauce down my top. When we were eating the mains, and she got really annoyed.
And where was it you went for New Year's?
I took her for dinner at the Corinthia.
Oh, the Corinthia. That's lovely, actually.
It's really nice. You can watch the fireworks from there, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's nice. So just to confirm then, through December you went to the Corinthia for New Year's. Pricey. You went to the Ritz as well in December. And you shop at Harrods.
Gonna take this off. Getting spicy out here.
Nice. It's good to see that the King of the Jungle has still got his feet firmly on the ground.
Can I tell you why I went to the Ritz? It was Zara's birthday, so I wanted to do something really nice. And Fred, first dates, Fred.
I was there.
You were there. He booked it for me, which is really, really nice. So, yeah, it wasn't just me. I don't know the people at the Ritz. It was actually Fred who booked the Ritz for me. So I wanted to take Zara out because I wanted to do something nice for her because I hadn't seen her for a month.
Wonderful. New Year's, I'll tell you what I did. Fell asleep by 9:30. So, good New Year's for me. Enjoyed it. It was fun. And I haven't drunk this year. I'm well aware it's only the 5th. However, good for me.
Yeah, also, we're both actually, this is quite cool. I feel like we're like women who share menstrual cycles when they're close together all the time.
I mean, I'll be honest with you.
We're both ill.
We have a lot of women listening to this, and I'm not sure they're going to appreciate this comparison.
No, it's going to be fine, because we're both ill.
Okay.
And we spend...
It sounds a bloody mess.
Because when you spend time together, Zara told me, she went, if your girls spend time together, you can share period times where you both menstruate at the same time. And these are Zara, not me. But me and Pete, because we spent so much time together, I think, we're both ill at the same time. So we're both quite ill today.
Well, no, the reason that I'm ill is because everyone, you drink too much, you should stop drinking. I stop drinking, I get ill. And I mean, I said it this morning on the way into our producer, today I was almost going to call in sick.
No
and
way.
I have never done that. It was a choice between coming in today to start off the podcast for this year or taking myself to the vets and putting myself down. It was close, but the podcast won.
And I think I saw on the podcast WhatsApp chat, it was then someone went, that's the first and only thing we've ever won.
Yes, that was also me.
What you have done is you have worn some beautiful little Uggs just to warm your little tootsies and keep yourself nice and cozy when you're feeling a little bit ill.
Yes, I'm wearing slippers.
Something, well, no Uggs. And again, something I really like is that he's not wearing any socks with him.
You're not supposed to.
Ankle is showing. And one of our producers, when she walked past, went, oh my God, I've never seen your ankles. And then she went, you have the loveliest little ankles.
Not just ankles. I actually have lovely feet.
Oh, my God, he's got his feet out. Do you know how many people will be messaging on Instagram being like, oh, he sent us a photo of your feet. Here you go.
Yeah,
look.
That's true.
Toes and stuff.
Oh, they're a bit...
Oh, they're a bit...
Clammy.
They're dusty. No, they're dusty. Why
no, it's the fluff
feet?
From the inside. They're not dusty.
You got dusty feet.
Not, fuck, I'm not that old. I've got dusty feet.
Disintegrating feet.
Jesus.
But also what
our
producer said, and I thought it was so true, is that if you know Pete, you know that he's tatted basically head to toe, neck to toe.
You don't need to know me, you just need to look at me.
Yeah, if you look at Pete, you know that he's tatted from neck to toe. But he has about a calf to a foot of no tattoo. And so it's the first time anyone's ever seen just skin on Pete. He looks normal. It's really discombobulated. Do you know what I mean though? It's really discombobulating. Can we frame in for when people watch us on Friday?
Worries me is that you're actually zooming in, you
I think people really do want to know.
I'm not sure people wanted 2024 to start off with my feet and ankles.
But it's so like weird. It's so weird just seeing your skin. You have lovely skin.
You do know that that is still my skin.
No, but you can't really see it because it's all shaded out.
Right. Okay. I think we should move on. So we said we were going to be bigger and better this year, not just in the podcast sense, just generally we are
moving up in the world. Yeah. Menstrual cycles. This is what I mean.
Fuck.
Mate, this is it.
I need a minute.
Mate, we are so into it, tapped in.
So what we are doing is moving up.
In the world.
Okay.
I thought we were going to do it again.
No. Okay, don't push it.
Okay, fine.
All right. So we've got an announcement.
I didn't even know what this is.
Okay. Of course you don't, because Sam's favourite thing to do is just turn up and hope for the best.
Pete writes notes.
What we are about to announce is big for us, but I presume you won't give a fuck.
Oh my God. It's going to be huge.
Last year, one of the most watched episodes of the podcast that we had and one of the most viral social media things that we did was the red carpet at the NTAs.
Oh my God, this is huge!
So what we did last year was I was told that I was hosting the red carpet at the NTAs. Great. I turned up, wasn't allowed in.
No. You did more than that. You did more than that because before you turned up to the red carpet, Pete got told, as he just said, he was hosting the red carpet. He thought he was doing it. He was on the phone to me being like, mate, we're hosting the red carpet. I kind of knew we weren't. We were only doing it for staying relevant.
When Sam says he kind of knew we weren't, Sam knew full well we weren't.
I knew we weren't. Pete went to his press team and put press out that we were hosting the NTA's official red carpet.
We weren't. I was there as a photographer.
He had a lanyard, said photographer.
It wasn't even a lanyard. It was a paper wristband.
And we had to stand behind a metal casing with like the
Daily
Mail.
We were with the press and we were just trying to grab people as best we could, including the infamous Ant Deck Ant. Which one is it? Deck Ant. Deck Ant. Where Sam chased them down the carpet. Obviously not now. They are fucking bum chums. However, at that point, they couldn't give a fuck. But the announcement this year is that we are officially hosting the NTA's red carpet.
We're doing it! We're doing it! We've made it! Mama, I've made it!
So despite causing absolute chaos last year on the red carpet, hounding people, Sam screaming at people, stealing microphones from people he's bored of talking to whilst trying to give them to other people. This year, they've thought, I'll tell you what's a great idea, we'll let them host the whole thing.
We're hosting the official red carpet for the NTAs!
So, yeah, that is correct. I am no longer a photographer. I have moved up to being the King's assistant for hosting duties on the red carpet.
Man, this is going to be so cool!
So this is effectively Sam's actual dream job. Sam, very excited about this. this. Me, slightly dubious about it.
Crocs or no Crocs? That's the question.
Again, Sam last year wore Crocs. This year, if he does that, I'm going to hurt him.
Yeah, because now we're in the big leagues.
However, I am semi-excited. I'm going to tell you how excited I am, is that I found this out a little while ago, just before Christmas. I went to my tailor's and I've already ordered a suit to be made specifically because I saw the fabric and I really like the fabric.
Oh my God, what are you doing? Because we'll match.
No, you won't be able to match with this because you will look fucking silly.
What are you wearing?
Oh, it's special.
Oh no. When Pete says special, that's terrifying because at the Pride of Britain Awards, he wore leopard print boots.
And a full velvet flared suit.
Full velvet suit. So whatever the hell he's got up his knees this time, up his knees, up his skirt this time, is going to be absolutely out.
Neither knees or skirt were any good.
You know what I mean? Up his, what is it? Up his sleeve. That's the one, up his sleeve.
You were close with knees. Close with skirt, but you got there in the end.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna have to go and buy myself a suit.
I mean, it's not, I'll be honest with you, it's not till September.
Yeah. We've
got a while.
And we could get cancelled by then.
So I've got a little thing here. We're happy. We're not doing this because I'm told to do it, but it is taking place at London's O2 on the 11th of September, as well as being broadcast on ITV1 and ITVX.
It's on ITV1!
It is. You can get your tickets to watch our interviews streamed live in the auditorium at nationaltvawards.com/tickets.
Oh my God, we're going to be on the TV.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, we are, because they said we're going to be streamed live into the auditorium and that's going to play on ITV1.
No.
We're
going to
be by default on ITV1.
No. No, they're not showing what we do on TV. It's just going to be, as people take their seats, they'll see us on the screen.
Yeah.
But the cameras for the actual show won't start until whoever the fuck hosts it.
We'll be doing it next year.
Basically, a good person will be hosting it. That's what people will watch on our TV1. You can probably catch us on
their YouTube.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, we are now superstars.
I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like this has come from one of us winning a show and the other one, as the press and everyone like to call me, clinging on. So I am over the moon.
No one's ever said you've clung on.
I am, read the DMs, son. I am over the moon to be hanging on to Mr. Thompson for this fabulous honour.
Prestigious thing. And then when we smash this, because hopefully we smash it, then America. NTAs to America.
Yeah, it's a big jump. Like a real big jump, that one.
Do you know what's weird? This will be my second ever NTAs.
And funny enough, this will be my 10th.
Yeah.
What's going to be funny about this one is that once we've finished hosting the fucking red carpet at the NTAs, which is going to be amazing, Sam's going to take his seat with the I'm a Celeb people, go up on stage and collect his award, and I will be drunk.
Big news, though.
Well, yeah, big news. And genuinely, and I'm not even being sarcastic at this point, quite excited.
You're really, really excited. And we're going to be really professional in this one. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be like, hello, sir, how do you do?
I'll be honest with you, your mouth is writing checks that we cannot cash.
Yeah, yes, we can.
The chances of us being professional, slim.
You've never seen
the chances of it being interesting, high. So, moving on, the usual. For the first time this year, Sam, what have you done this week to stay relevant? You don't need to look at the card. This is literally just a question for you. And I'm going to tell you what your one is.
Okay, go on.
You went to Tony
Bennett. Oh, yeah, sweet. Okay, cool. I didn't know if that was on the right part.
No, it's all right. Just don't worry. I'll keep us going.
Okay, keep us afloat. So this week to stay relevant, I went to Tony Bellew's wife's 40th birthday. And it was the most cool thing I think I've ever done. To be invited to the WBC champ of the world's wife's 40th. Who, by the way, Pete, shout out to Rachel, his wife, the loveliest, loveliest lady in all the land.
Genuinely, I love Rachel.
Yeah, she's the nicest person. And to be honest with you, the fact that Tony felt comfortable enough to invite to his wife's 40th was just so nice. It was literally just like family and best friends there, wasn't it?
And me.
Yeah, because Pete was there.
And I'll tell you why I was there, because Sam called me the night before and went, mate, I completely forgot to ask you about this. I've been invited to Tony's wife's birthday and at the bottom of the invite it says, you can bring Pete.
Yeah, that's what he says. He went, bring Pete if you want.
Do you want to come? And I went, yeah, fuck it. I was out at the time for dinner and Sam was with Zara. So he said, well, look, the train's booked and the hotel and all that sort of stuff. And I said, Zara, get on it. So Zara booked my train and hotel for me. Obviously, I paid her. Like, I didn't pay her to do it. I mean, I paid for my own hotel and train. She didn't, you know. So that was that. And then we went to Liverpool. It's the first time Sam and I have been kind of together like that properly. Mm. I'd come straight from work. I'd been out that, obviously, that night before. Yeah. And I...
very hungover.
Was fucking exceptionally hungover. Anyway, we get to Euston and I can only describe the reaction to Sam as the Beatles. It was fucking wild. Everyone would not leave him alone. Pictures galore. It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it because I've never actually seen anyone ask Sam for a picture.
Yeah, it was like the first time it's ever happened. It was so cool.
King of the Jungle, suddenly the nation's sweetheart. It was the first time I'd kind of seen it, and I'll be honest with you, it was a lot.
He hated it.
I did, because I was trying to move him through the crowd, which was a struggle. They cancelled the majority of trains to Liverpool, so I was then trying to work out how the fuck we were going to get there. While Sam was just going, oh, I had the best time, you know, I'd live in the jungle in the background.
He also actually is he's just left out the part where he had a debate with the station master, who was like, "That this isn't the platform you want to get on." Pete went, "But if you look at my phone on trainline.com, you'll see that it says here," and the woman literally goes, No, but it's that. He goes, no, what, but it's not. It's this one. That was about 10 minutes.
And what she actually did was, I work here. And I went, yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
So that one is it.
I've never seen Pete have like a debate, like an admin debate before.
Listen, as we all know, I like structure and I like to know what's happening and I like to take control.
I just have my bad, like Dora the Explorer.
Dora the Explorer in the background, just fucking doing selfies and telling everyone how good pig vagina tastes. that's effectively what was happening there. Anyway, so we get on the train. We're then sitting there and I am facing so I can see down the carriage. Sam has got his back so he cannot see anything. We were sat right at the front. So I'm watching and I kept seeing people just like fucking meerkats like this. And then suddenly me and Sam are just sitting there having a chat. I don't know if there was a school trip happening, but about 10 children walked down the carriage, just walking sort of nervously, looking in every seat. Can't find. Then they get to me and they're just still looking. And then they look, Sam Thompson, I love you in the jungle. And just then burst into song, singing Everybody in Love.
Everybody in love, go put your hands up.
Sam gets
everybody
up,
in love.
Does that.
Put your hands
couple
up.
Of them take seats. It was like story time. It was like Jack and Nori. Sam starts reminiscing about the jungle.
But they're all like 12.
With a load of children. As you can imagine, awkward.
Well, especially when Pete's there looking about 50.
So I'm sat there with a rendition of Everybody in Love going on next to me, Sam doing the rounds with pictures and all that. I'm taking the pictures for them. The children are treating me like I am the substitute teacher. So it's just take that. And there I am, snapping away. They then run off. And that's all great. And that's fucking fine. And Sam's going, oh, it's just great. And I said, mate, listen, it's fucking great. Like, you're a fucking hero. 2 minutes later, the door opens again. So I have a little look. There's another group, because what's happened is they've I presume ran down the carriageway to get back to their parents or whatever, shouting the King of the Jungle's on the train. People have then heard this and started walking towards. So suddenly there's another group. The other group has come.
They've merged groups, actually.
The other group has come. Sam has done that. And then the group from before have then come back again for round two. So we now have an amalgamated group of people that don't know each other, but are all happy to see Sam. Sam, loving life. This is great. And they were all really, really lovely.
They were lovely.
This is great. They all run back again and they've had their pictures and it's all great. And it's all great. And then suddenly they all come back again. And it's all third time. Fuck off now. No, they were all really, really lovely. But this time they brought the parents. Because what's happened is they've gone back, and this is what I can presume has gone on. They've gone back and gone, we had pictures with the King of the Jungle, we had pictures with the King Jungle. The parents have then gone, who was he with? They've gone, some long-haired fella, and all the mums have run down.
That, mate, that is exactly
the
what
mums
happened.
Have run down in front of the children, sat themselves next to me. Not only that, they obviously know me. They've bought me tins of alcohol, mojitos, cider, whatnot. Sam's doing the pictures. At one point, one of them was a dancer, so she did the splits next to Sam whilst holding her leg in the air. Listen, we don't need to make comment on it, but as you can imagine, strange scenario. As that's happening, I'm talking to her mum about how I love to get pissed. Very weird. The whole situation, very weird.
The contrast is so good, though, because you've got... What I love is that we've lowered the demographic, which is great.
No, Sam has lowered the demographic for him. I have stayed true.
So, Pete, so it's like literally you've got two halves of the carriage. You've got me talking to, like, the kids and teens, and you've got Pete hammering it with the parents who are sitting there being like, I just knew it was you, Pete. The moment I heard he was with someone, I just knew it was you. And we thought we'd... They literally said to him, I thought we'd bring you a cider.
And that was all great. But they stayed for a fair while and we all had a nice little chat. So that's all happening and we all sit there. And there was about 15, 20 minutes they were all sat there. And it was actually really nice. They were all really
they
lovely.
They were so,
gotta
so
say,
lovely.
They were all really lovely. Then they fuck off and then me and Sam are left together. Sam then goes, oh, a bit tired. I might try and have a little sleep.
It was quite late at this point. It was like 7 p.m.
Yeah. 10 minutes later, a single boy walks down the carriage, looks at me and goes, are you the guy if I'm a celeb? He's about 12. Looks at me and I go, no, 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 no. That's him. Looks at Sam. Can I have a picture? Sam goes, yeah, of course you can, mate. Has the picture and he goes, thanks very much. Walks off. Sam then goes, right, I'm going to try and have a little sleep. The door opens again. At this point, we're panicking because we're thinking, who the fuck else is coming through here? So Sam pretends to be asleep now.
I didn't pretend. I was asleep.
Sam pretends to be asleep for the rest of the journey. Listen, we can say it. He'd done an awful lot. He wanted to get a little bit of shut eye before the big reunion with Tony Bellew. The same boy then walks back down again. Sam is pretending to be asleep and goes to me, I feel bad I didn't get a picture of you. So can we have a picture? Yeah. I then do a picture. Again, I know what's happened there. Gone back, told mummy. Mummy's gone, get a picture with the other one. Yeah. Sam is then asleep. We're getting towards the end of the thing. We're about to get off. The original group of girls come back down again. And go, we just wanted to get another picture. I went, oh, he's asleep. Sorry. And they go, all right, then. I'm thinking this is, they're going to ask me now. And they went, bye. And wandered off. So that was just the journey before we even got to Liverpool.
Can I just quickly say, though, that one kid who came at the end didn't know who either of us were.
Had no idea.
He'd obviously been sent down by like somebody to be like, well, go and get a picture then. He was like, I don't fucking care. The kids literally sat there being like, I'm playing Pokemon or whatever. Like, I don't need to go and have a photo with these two 30-year-olds. Like, I don't care.
Thank you.
And he goes down and starts and asks Pete, he goes, are you the guy to the jungle? To Pete, he's like, no, it's not me. So he goes, right, then he's obviously, the parents have gone, we'll get one with the other guy as well. And he's just run back up.
Poor geezer's just wandering up and down a train looking for two fucking
he doesn't even
men.
Care about.
So anyway, so that was that. Like I said, we've got so much content, we're not even going to get to the majority of this. So anyway, there's other funny bits that happen. We get to the fucking hotel, for example. Sam goes to check in. Tony Bellew has booked Sam's room, booked him a fucking suite, all the rest of it. There's an envelope. We're expecting you, sir. This, that, and the other. Then he looks at me and goes, checking in, are you? And I went, yeah, it's under Pete Wicks. He went, let's see if we can find that. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I was in the box room, which I'd had to, well, Zara lovingly booked for me. I then had to pay for mine. Obviously, Sam didn't because Tony covered all Sam's costs.
I know. I felt really bad.
So we get ready really, really quickly because at this point, because of the nightmare with the trains, we're fucking late. All right, so the party starts at 7. It's now 8 o'clock. We arrive at the hotel.
Yeah, I know.
But no one gets there at 7.
I don't like being late either.
Sam is always late. We get dressed really, really quickly. 10-minute turnaround, up, ready to go. Fucking straight down to the bar downstairs. 2 shots of tequila each before we leave. Jump in the cab and get going. I'll be honest with you, that was Sam, not me, that said that. Sam was like, we're going to need 2 tequilas. I went, absolutely fine. You ain't going to ask me twice, sunshine. Let's fucking crack on. Danny Hatch, let's go.
Yeah.
We get to the fucking venue. We're outside the venue. We, 2 huge bouncers there. Sam, we're expecting you. I look like his wife. He's just hanging in the background. We met a lovely postman outside as well.
We did meet a lovely postman,
actually, and he tweeted me.
And production are just looking at us. And she said that she's received a video of us from our night out.
I fucking hope it's us sat at that table.
Yes.
I hope to God it's us sat at that table.
Play it.
Kieran!
Kieran, this is the best video you've ever
seen.
How are you, brother?
Yes, listen, mate.
I just want to tell you, man, your dead end is a fucking legend.
Legend. Absolute legend.
Absolute legend.
I'm a Chelsea fan, so obviously I don't like you as much because you're a United fan.
I just told Sam that you've been voting for him.
Oh, okay. And thank you so much, brother.
Absolutely adores you.
Mwah. Love you, mate. Kieran. And your dad's a hero, by the way.
100%. He's a hero.
How good is that?
But all the best, Kieran. Take care,
love bro. You, mate.
So that
Andy's name is, I think, is the postman.
Come on, Andy! That's the loveliest video. A message he wrote as well afterwards.
He's just he was such a nice guy. He was so fucking polite and nice. I mean, the bad part about that video is that I sound like I have potentially been gargling gravel. And Sam is evidently pissed already.
Yeah, you can tell.
And that is about...
That's at the start.
We get into the venue. Sam goes to me, recalled me seeing Tony. So Sam walks in first. There I am behind him. Like the Instagram boyfriend, getting the fucking content. Brilliant video, really lovely video. We say hello to loads of people there. Some really people that I...
Do you know what I hate about Pete? I'm coming in here. Pete goes, do you want me to film it? He's such a lot. I was going to let him get away with it then. I was like, no, actually, it's not even fair. Pete, being such a lovely bloke, right, goes, mate, do you want me to film you, like, reunite with Tony? I went, that'd be so nice. Thank you, mate. And then we get to the podcast, he goes, Sam goes, film it for me, mate. And I was like, that's such a lovely thing for Pete to offer to do. Yeah. And then he turns it completely when it matters most on the podcast.
Yeah, well, listen, we don't need people to think I'm lovely, do we?
Yeah, well, remember, he did. He was really, really sweet and he filmed it.
So anyway, so we get in, they reunite and it's fucking wonderful and it's beautiful. Loads of people there. Rachel looked stunning. The venue was amazing. Tony looked amazing. His kids were there, his two oldest boys, and they're fucking great as well. Love them. All in all, really fun, really good night.
What I love so much is I was like doing the rounds, right? So I was literally like, I had a whole of Tony's family. He's got a huge family. I had a whole of it coming up to me being like, oh my God, like you and Tony, you're like brothers. And I'm like, oh yes, I am. Yeah, I am. But if you turn around there's my other brother. And it will be Pete. Pete basically did a PA that night. Pete was the life of the party, as per usual, right? I'm going around trying to, like, talk to Tony's family like I'm his girlfriend.
I'm just going to stop Sam there, because when Sam says he was going round, what Sam was actually doing was following Tony around the party, trying to get in as many photos as possible with Tony, just to prove that they were actually mates. Yeah. I'm not joking. Tony was saying hello to all his friends and family, and then Sam would pop out from the shoulder, I'm Sam.
Yeah.
Sam literally, as soon as we walked in, left me for dead. Did not see him for about 2 hours. Not even joking you. So what did I do? I went to the end of the bar and I started ordering trays of shots.
Yeah, and it worked. Because Pete was, by the end of it, Pete had this, as I tell you, every time it happens, Pete has this crowd of scousers around him. By the end of the night, no one's anywhere else but by the end of the bar having all of these tequila shots of Pete. And you just know you can take Pete anywhere because it was like, he was best mates of everybody. It was the best night. I loved it. And I'm so grateful that we got invited there.
What Sam hasn't mentioned is that Sam, as some of you will know, he's not a massive drinker. Sam was so excited about being there. And when Sam gets excited and there's a bar, Sam thinks he's a big drinker. And I'm going to be honest with you, Sam isn't a terrible drinker. Sam can drink. But what Sam does is he gets overexcited very early. Pacing himself, not good.
I only go out like Sam three times a year.
Sam is the Usain Bolt of drinking. He's great for about 10 seconds. Anything longer than that, my guy's fucked. So, the party is starting to slow down. Well, no, it's not actually. The party's still going, but Sam is drunk. So there's talk of everyone going to a club, because everyone did end up in a club. So there's talk in the party of everyone going to a club. Sam's pissed at this point and thinks, right, let's fucking go. Sam assumes I've organised the club. So we're upstairs at this point. Sam's going, right, where are we going then? And I said, well, I don't know. And he went, well, you must know people. I do. So I message a friend of mine and I get us a table at a club in Liverpool.
We went to the wrong club.
No, we didn't. We went to the right club. However, it wasn't the club that everyone else was going to because Sam hadn't told me what the club everyone was going to was. So I'd just organised a club because I assumed that Sam was going to tell everyone and everyone was going to come to the club that I'd organised. We then turn up and my friend is a bouncer in Liverpool, known him for a long time, great guy. He walks down the street to meet us, fucking takes us straight in. We are in this club and they sit us on a table, me and Sam. The club is very busy and it's in a VIP area and there is a bar, like a rail, and it's packed. People then notice the King of the Jungle is sat there. So what people then do, it was like being in the zoo. They then turn around and just start filming and taking pictures of me and Sam. We are sat around a table with an ice bucket.
Pete's in a jacket.
Wait, I'm in a fucking suit. Me and Sam are sat there like we're waiting for a bus in a booth on our own next to each other going, this is weird. Yeah. They then bring the champagne show for the bottle of tequila that I'd ordered. I got up and went, oh, no. I went, girls, no, get, take it off, sit it down. Let's fuck, thank you so much, love that. Put the drink down, fuck off the fireworks. We're then sat there drinking from the bottle of tequila whilst watching everyone as they watch us. There was a lot of eye contact that was weird. So what actually was happening was obviously I love tequila, that's my fucking drink. Drinking tequila, Sam is there and he's drinking tequila.
Yeah, I didn't know what else to do. Basically, when I get nervous, I just do things.
It's from the bottle. Lovely bottle of Casamigos. It's brilliant, lovely
not,
tequila.
Not the right idea at all.
Then what happens is I get a text message from someone else that was at the party saying, where are you? We're at a different club. And I said, well, this is where we are. So she came to get us. She then walked in, love Shelf. Her name's not Shelf. I call her Shelf. Her name's Claire.
Lovely.
I call her Shelf because when we were in, it's another story. We'll tell you that another time. So Shelf comes in, grabs us, says, everyone's waiting for you outside to go to the other club, which is just over the road. So I was like, oh, fuck me. Thank God for that, because this is weird.
And there ended the most awkward club that we had ever been
ever.
In.
And let me tell you, the reason I know this club is because I've done PAs there. Multiple times. And it was a lot. Let's just leave it at that. It was a lot. We get outside and my mate was the bouncer, has then said, listen, I'm going to knock off work then and I'll come with you and I'll look after you for the night. And I said, mate, you don't have to do that. And he said, why do you not need to do that? I said, because I'm with Tony Bellew. Because who's waiting for us outside the club? Because he's worried about Sam. Tony fucking Bellew.
Oh, yeah.
So we then all walk to a club that Tony knows and we go there. So Sam's now with his security, Tony Bellew. I have got my own with me. We go into a club that...
Can we just think about that? Pete has gone to Liverpool and basically solo picked up his own bouncer from a different club and brought him with us to this other bar. So, like, how weird is that? He's, like, gone and plucked his own bouncer and brought him with us.
He's my friend who happens to be a bouncer. But we'll get on to why he was actually...
It's just
working.
Iconic.
So then we end up in this other that Tony sorted out. Friends, family, loads of people there. Fucking great. Really good night.
Yeah.
Everyone is getting pissed. Sam is dying.
Yeah.
Slowly.
It's really, really drunk at this point. Because I've gone way too hard.
I'll tell you how drunk Sam is. Sam's eyes are in the back of his head. So then what happens is, obviously the DJ, Tony Bellew in the house, blah, blah, blah. What Sam then does... He grabs the microphone. Sam then starts rapping to Teddy T in the middle of the club whilst Tony's across the room going...
No. Yeah.
No.
It was really bad.
I may even have a video.
It was really bad. Tony's on the other side going... Stop it. I'm going, Teddy T!
Sam at this point is so drunk, though, that I'm not joking you. Sam is... It's like pinball. Sam is now just bouncing off tables and walls. So obviously I've got my friend there and I said to him... And he's just sticking by me like my shadow. And I said to him, mate, I'm good. Stick on him. And he went, no, man, I've got you. I went, I'll give you £200. Stick on him. I paid my friend £200 to not leave his side.
How sweet is that?
And now this guy, he's a big guy. He's about 6'6". He's a fucking big guy.
He was so lovely. I sort of vaguely
he's
remember.
The nicest guy.
Yeah, so, he was like shadowing me and stuff. And I was like...
He was like moving people out the way for him, like fucking... Yeah. He's just a really great
but
guy.
But when I get... Because as I said, I don't really drink. So like, I literally drink like 3 times a year. So when I drink, I get really pissed. And I get really like excited. I want to go and see people. So I'm always like, where's Tony? We're going over there. So I'm like... falling over whilst going there. Pete, and we go back over there.
But what Sam doesn't realise when he gets to this point is I get very, you've all been out with me, I get quite protective over people when I'm out, and Daddy Pete comes into play again. Problem is I'm not a 6'6" bouncer, and I am wearing a suit.
With a turban.
So as Sam's walking through people, I'm trying to move people gently out the way like this. People calling me a c- as I'm pushing them out the way. Sam has no idea this is all happening. Because Sam is just wandering through like a pinball, fucking just bouncing into shit, whilst everyone is like parting the sea like Moses for him so that no one hurts him. Anyway, then I have to
wait. Made loads of friends by the bar, by the way.
Did make loads of friends by the bar, because what Sam also does when he's drunk is he goes to the bar because he thinks he wants more to drink. Then what he does is goes, Pete, get the drinks.
I get the drinks and I get rounds of drinks. And then by the time the drinks have come, I'm then stood with Sam's new friends while Sam is off with the 6 foot six bouncer bumping into other people. And then I say to Sam, throughout nights like this, Sam, should we go now? Should we go? I think we better go. No. No. So what you have to do, you just have to wait for Sam to want to go.
The candle has to burn itself out.
And you hope that it happens soon. It did. Sam then says to me, I want to go. I said, what's that, mate? You want to go? And he goes, yeah. I went, all right, let's go. My friend then goes, says to me, just wait here a minute, goes and gets us a cab, makes it wait, walks us to the car, puts us in the car and pays it to send us straight back. I hadn't even told him where we were standing. He went, don't worry, I know where you are. So anyway, we're in the cab and Sam's doing this in the back of the cab.
Have I embarrassed myself?
I don't remember this.
No, mate. Nope. At this point, it's about 9:30.
it's not even that late, though.
No, it's actually not. It's about 1:00.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get back to the hotel. Sam is on the 7th floor. I'm on the 2nd floor. I go up to the 7th floor, let him into his room and lay him on his bed. And then I leave and go back to my box room on the 2nd floor and go to bed.
How sweet is that? Although, actually, I lost my phone. But it was still a great night.
Really good night. And I know that's a really long story, but there's so much to unpack there.
Yeah, and that's what we did stay relevant. That was staying because it made the press.
That was a joint staying relevant moment. Although it's not my staying relevant moment, I am the Klingon. So I am clinging on to Sam's staying relevant moment, much as I am his career. So our staying relevant moment for the week was Tony Bellew's party.
Actually,
the last thing on Tony Bellew's party, actually, because I forgot, because I did make another note. Hopefully we've got time for this because it's quite funny, is it's also in the sidebar of shame. It goes together, all right? Tony Bellew's party in the sidebar of shame, because the headline from Sam visiting Tony in Liverpool is this. This is not a headline I ever thought I would read. I'm going to be honest with you. Prepare yourselves. Sam Thompson and Tony Bellew lick and cuddle each other an excitable I'm a Celebrity reunion.
What?
Not joking. That was the headline. Now, I'm well aware that everyone refers to you as a Labrador, but yeah, you are not actually a dog.
Did I lick him?
According to...
Oh, no.
I believe it's the Mirror. If you Google it now, I'm not making this up.
I licked Tony Bellew.
Sam Thompson and Tony Bellew lick each other was not the headline that I was expecting in 2024. I'm going to be honest with you. So that's that on the end of that sidebar of shame and staying relevant all done in one. However, staying relevant moments we're not done with, because we're not the only ones that have had a staying relevant moment.
What?
So production team, what have you done to stay relevant?
We were in the sun!
No!
Not only, I just want to point out that they practiced doing that in unison, and it was so fucking off. Right? You lot are shit.
Wait. Sorry. How? Wait, when?
So what happened was, number one podcast, we are fucking relevant, but mainly because of you. But we're so relevant now that our production team are getting press. All right? It's from our Christmas party. They included a photo of all the production team together from our Christmas party.
Where were we for the Christmas party?
Sam had a great time, as you can imagine.
Soho House?
Yes.
What happened there?
So the production team, they basically, the press picked up on our Christmas party. Again, the press, not particularly kind to me, because they put in a video of me shouting at one of the production team for hiding her tequila and not
shut up!
It.
No way! Was it Charlotte? Oh, no!
Because Charlotte was, I'll be honest with you, snake. Because what she was doing was she was hiding them and then pretending she'd done it.
Oh, you
and then trying to tell me she'd done it. And I go, I can see it behind you.
Did you make her do it?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, no.
And that makes me sound a little bit of a control freak and a cock. And I'll be honest with you, all true. But yeah, our production team are also
staying
relevant.
Show me the headline.
I don't think the headline actually mentions them. It was inside.
Sorry, staying we're relevant, so cool.
Inside staying relevant Christmas party. Saffron's in it. There's videos going on.
Saffron! And it's got Pete making a speech.
Yes, there was me making a speech.
Oh, my God, look at that. We're actually in the press.
So can you get any more relevant than the fucking host and the whole production team staying relevant, all making the fucking press?
Yeah! guys. God, right. We're so awesome.
And on that note now, because I feel like I have really outdone myself on being in control today, now's your moment to have your excitable thing. Come on, we've got... I'll give you 30 seconds.
Am I allowed to say what...
Please.
Okay. So, this actually made me cry. Real tears. We, at Staying Relevant Podcast, over the Christmas period, were the number one podcast in the entire country. I want to say the world, but it's not the world. But we're above Joe Rogan in Spotify. We were number one on the entire of Spotify. Number one on the entire of iTunes. Yeah, what the hell? What the hell? Wait, Pete didn't even say anything.
To be honest with you, I was waiting for the unison.
That was the most... honestly, I couldn't believe it when I saw that. Number one. We're not anymore, but we were a number one podcast in the entire country.
So this is now a challenge to you. We've hit the number one spot.
We're not on anymore. Joe Rogan's not.
But we hit it. We hit the number one spot. Okay. We hit the number one spot.
We're not there anymore.
Okay, just briefly. That's what I wanted there.
Briefly.
We hit the number one spot.
Briefly.
However, Jesus Christ, this is smooth. however, this is a call out to you now. Now that we've hit it.
We want to stay there.
Exactly. We want to stay there. So we need you to listen, share, review, do everything you can. We're going to have 2 episodes a week. We're trying for you. Try for us.
Yeah. We will scratch your backs if you back scratch ours.
Yeah. Something like that. So that is now the thing, is that honestly, massive achievement for us. I genuinely can't believe it.
A year ago, Pete didn't even want to do this. A year ago, Pete literally, I had to basically lie to him and tell him we were doing something else. And then he literally walked into the studio. I was like, yeah, we're doing a podcast.
Yeah, wild. The last couple of months has been wild for the podcast.
Pete's actually written the live show. So whatever you see, just want to let you know that it's come from Pete's head.
Over Christmas, I bought some notebooks and I have sadly wrote a show.
Pete's written the entire live show.
It hasn't, these guys don't know about it yet because I haven't shown them it.
He's too scared. You know when someone goes, I'm a really good singer, but I don't want to sing. It's like that. Pete's like, he literally goes, it's going to be an amazing live show. And I went, well, show me then. He went, no, I'm not ready.
What I am really prepared for is similarly to a lot of things that me and Sam do, is that Sam is the face of
everything
we do.
Oh, shut up.
And Sam is the hilarious one and the one that everyone loves. I generally just try and put groundwork in. And I'm well aware this is what happens with the tour. But the danger with this is that if it's shit, it'll be my fault.
Yeah.
If it's good, Sam's going to take all the credit.
Yeah.
And everyone will go, Sam's tour's amazing with his mate. Anyway, that's it for Staying Relevant for this week.
It's 2024?
No, it's not it for the whole of 2024.
Yeah, even the first one of 2024.
Yeah, so this week.
Yeah. But say this week, the first week of 2024.
Okay, you can say it as well.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you go, then I'll go.
That's it for this week.
The first week of 2024 Staying Relevant.
Thanks. Sorry.
We're back.
God, and worse.
No, we're better.
Anyway, follow us on Staying Relevant Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok. Find us on YouTube. Just search Staying Relevant Podcast. Find us on Snappy C, which is just Staying Relevant Podcast.
Yeah.
Review, rate, do all that crap. Get us back to number one. Keep us there. Tell everyone about it. Do all that shite.
And we love you so much. 2024 is going to be our year. We're going to smash it. I thought that was quite a nice little motivational speech.
To be honest with you, that demotivated me.
Right, well, thank you so much for listening. And you can listen to us brand new every single Thursday. Starting this Thursday! Bonus episodes!
Okay, I'm just going to make that make sense. So every Monday we still come out. Every Thursday we come out. That's both the audios. And then for YouTube, we come out every Friday for the Monday episode and every Sunday for the Thursday episode.
Pow, pow, but.
Yes, gang signs.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yeah, brup.
I got excited.
Yeah,
done. We love you. We love you so much.
Insanity Group.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.